Godly Habits, 7 Spiritual Practices to Grow You as a Disciple of Jesus. Chapter 6, Generosity. Whatever you can't take it with you might have once meant, it now means that you ought to spend your money on yourself for as long as you're healthy enough to enjoy it. But it's that on-screen legend Denzel Washington again who offers a better spin. You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse, he says. I can't take it with me and neither can you. It's not about how much you have, but what you do with what you have. It's a well-cited fact that Jesus said more about money than he did about sex, and the New Testament letters give plenty of examples of the good you can do by giving money away, especially to gospel causes. So for starters, in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul shows us how sacrificial giving is acceptable to God, how it supplies others' needs and relieves their hardship, how it stirs others to enthusiastically embracing giving themselves, how it enhances fellowship and ultimately leads to the praise of God. But it's what generosity can do in our own hearts that is just as motivating for incorporating it into our set of spiritual disciplines. Remember, Jesus connected the heart and wealth when he encouraged his disciples to store up for themselves treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, he said in Matthew 6, there your heart will be also. And the Apostle Paul wrote some of the most confronting words in the New Testament when he penned, if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. We naturally find ourselves wanting to add just a few more items to that short list. And we think the Apostle Paul was joking when he said the love of money is the root of all evil, preferring Mark Twain's summary of the spirit of our age, the lack of money is the root of all evil. We are suspicious that Paul was over-emoting when he said that an eagerness for money causes some people to wander from the faith, piercing themselves with many griefs. He was obviously talking about other people, we think to ourselves. How could money be that tightly connected to salvation? The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 6 returns to finish his argument a few verses later and perhaps intentionally lands where Jesus landed in Matthew 6. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. So, rich disciples of Jesus like us should not be drawn into the arrogance that so often accompanies wealth, nor should we trust in its uncertainty, but should put our hope in God, who ultimately is the one who provides everything. Because it's not only true that you can't take your money with you, it's also true that it's not really your money in the first place. It all comes from God. This in turn enables us to be rich in good deeds, because it's not only about signing a check to get us off the hook. Being generous with your money does not mean you can avoid being generous with your time and your effort and your service. Recognizing that your money is not really your money also helps you to be generous and willing to share, because that builds treasure in heaven. After all, you can't take it with you, can you? Pete from our congregation says, I have never, ever regretted being generous. I've never looked back and thought, I really wish I hadn't have written that check or given that money away. It was such a mistake. Joy always, always follows the act of generosity. But I also know that I can't wait for joy to arrive before I'm generous, because it may never arrive. It's like a lot of the Christian life. If you wait for joy before you pray, worship, gather, serve, you'll probably never pray, worship, gather, or serve. I have to remind myself that the joy follows the act of being generous. Give it a go, number one. Planned tithing, or better still, giving generously. Under the Old Testament law, the people of God gave 1/10 of what they had to God and his service. So that seems a handy baseline or start point. After all, we've received nothing less than new life because of God's gift of his Son. And we've been made heirs with Christ. meaning that we will inherit the universe along with Jesus. Therefore, if we've been given so much and will inherit so much, and it's a matter of the heart rather than the law, many of us could give well beyond the 10% mark. For some people in some stages of life, 10% might be more than they could reasonably afford, but many of us could readily give away 10% and still not be generous. So here's an idea. Give 10% or more to your church, i.e. your spiritual home and family. This is nobody else's responsibility other than those who are part of that home and family and who benefit from being part of it. Then give some extra to other Christian organisations which do gospel mission and aid. These organisations can draw on a wider pool of people. Then give some extra to development or relief work, like sponsoring a child through Compassion or World Vision. This is the responsibility of everyone in society, no less for believers in Jesus. By making it thoughtful, sacrificial, regular and frequent, and electronic giving is the best for this, you will follow through on your good intentions, giving cheerfully and ensuring that needs are met in a planned way. Give it a go, number two, spontaneous generosity. As well as being thoughtful and planned, you want to be able to be generous in a more reflexive way. So keep a little money in your wallet to give when people ask you for it. Add $20 or $50 into a separate account each pay packet. You can call it other people's emergencies if you like. It can build and bubble away until someone else needs it. And some helpful hints. Defer or deny yourself a purchase and give that money away to somebody who needs it more. The denial of self will do you good and you'll enjoy benefiting someone else. Write a list of things for which you are grateful. This will spur you on towards cheerful generosity. Don't wait just because you're studying or working part-time. Get into the habit of giving, even if the amount seems tiny. Each year, review your giving and see if you can give 1% more than the year before. Plan a random act of kindness for someone each week. Pray for them, even though they haven't asked for it, and let them know you've prayed for them. Send an SMS daily to thank someone for who they are and what they've done.